Christ is risen. Okay, good. I was afraid for a moment there you weren't going to respond. As you can tell from the outline in your service folder, here at Our Savior Lutheran, one of the things that we do to celebrate our Easter is exchange that Easter greeting, which was part of the ancient church. So even during the sermon, there'll be a few times where I'll probably say, Christ is risen. And as I do it, certainly feel free to respond, and I hope you respond, Christ is risen indeed. 7 short, simple words changed his life forever. Michael Delaney lived in a rather scary time. His country was at war with itself. During the Civil War, it would be hard to fault a man for not being a little bit afraid. As the prospect of having to fight and face muskets and bayonets, to think of the tens of thousands of men who died before a cannon and because of canister shot, there was good reason to be afraid. Then Michael Delaney heard that his battalion was going to go to war. He was a soldier in Colorado, and as his battalion mustered and got ready to go to New Mexico to fight, Michael Delaney begged, he asked, he pleaded with his commanding officer that he might be able to stay behind and take care of his young wife. But like all soldiers, Michael Delaney had sworn an oath. And so, shortly after, his battalion began the march to New Mexico. Michael Delaney started with them, but then quietly, as his battalion marched on, he walked away. He deserted. When they found him, a few months later, there was a relatively quick trial. His charge was desertion. And while Michael Delaney wasn't that great of a soldier, his life really didn't help him out all that much. He had been caught drunk on duty at times. Now he had run away. He had a bad reputation among the rest of his soldiers, so it didn't take very long for a jury of his peers in the military to utter 7 words that changed his life. The court finds Private Michael Delaney guilty. And with a guilty verdict came the prospect, a sure and rather certain prospect, of execution. 5 or so months passed. On July 18th, 1863, Michael Delaney woke up as he always had and came to that slow but certain realization that he wasn't living a bad dream and now just waking up, but everything that he had experienced was all too real. You imagine waking up like that every morning? Michael didn't know if each day he woke up, if that was going to be his last day. He had known he was going to be executed at some point, but they hadn't decided when yet. So each morning he would wake up and realize that he wasn't living a bad dream and then have all day to let the guilt of the bad decisions he had made in life kick him down. To wonder if this was going to be the day that finally his life ended. Try to figure out ways to deal with the guilt that haunted him. I know some other men who went through a similar experience, probably felt some of the same emotions that Michael Delaney felt as they woke up on an Easter morning. And as they blinked the sleep out of their eyes, came to the realization that everything they had just experienced wasn't a bad dream, but was all too real. The disciples woke up that first Easter morning. Can you imagine their guilt? After all, those disciples were the ones who had proclaimed just a few days earlier, insisted in fact, that they would never desert Jesus, no matter what. They couldn't think of anything that was going to be able to separate them from following Christ. And then, in a dark garden, when soldiers came to arrest and torture and then kill Jesus, the disciples ran away. They deserted him. They knew some of the women were going to be going to the tomb with spices and things to prepare Jesus' body, and none of the disciples went with. Only one of the disciples was brave enough to show himself on Good Friday. John went with the women to the crucifixion and saw Jesus die. They heard his words from the cross. They heard him proclaim, "It is finished." And now on Easter morning, they figured, let the ladies take care of the dead. As they stayed in bed and laid in their guilt. Have you ever felt the same way as Michael Delaney or those disciples, woken up and came to that slow but certain realization that what you were going through in life wasn't a bad dream, but was all too real? Maybe you failed a friend, or you failed your family, or you failed your God. And now that guilt was pressing down on your shoulders. We all have different ways that we deal with that guilt. Some of us might bargain with ourselves and say, well, I'm never going to do that again. Or some of us might deal with that guilt by trying to make it up to the people we've hurt and showering them or perhaps even overcompensating with the emotion or the physical gifts we lavish in hopes of making it up to the person that we've hurt. Or some of us deal with that guilt we experience in life by simply hoping it will go away, by ignoring it, tucking it into some dark closet in the back of our minds, shutting the door and hoping I never have to open that door again. But you know what? You know, as well as I do, that all those different ways of dealing with our guilt don't really work. Because none of those can free us from our past. In fact, all those really are little band-aids that we try to put on this gaping wound of unresolved guilt. No, we need something more to deal with that guilt that crushes our shoulders. Private Michael Delaney heard 7 words that changed his life. And it wasn't those 7 words he heard from the jury. The court finds Private Michael Delaney guilty. No, he heard 7 words from President Abraham Lincoln. 5 months after his conviction, on July 18th, 1863, President Lincoln used that unprecedented power he had as the president and wrote 7 words. He wrote, "Let him fight instead of being shot. Seven words that changed his life forever. Because in that moment, Michael Delaney was pardoned. Freed from his past with just seven words. Just like that, a past with all its guilt that certainly was worthy of death was wiped away, pardoned. Leave it to Lincoln to show mercy and humanity and a little bit of wit in just seven words. That's probably a little more amazing that Lincoln did anything at all. Because after all, the soldier he was pardoning certainly wasn't a model soldier. He was a drunk, a deserter, a man who had nothing good going for him. Except for a man in charge with a pen who wrote seven words. Freedom from our past doesn't come from bargains or resolutions or just by simply ignoring it. No, freedom from our past requires pardon. On that first Easter morning, the women went to that tomb while it was still dark, arms loaded with spices in order to prepare Jesus' body for death. They had watched Jesus suffer and die. They had watched as Joseph of Arimathea took that body, placed it in his own tomb, and they watched as that giant stone was rolled in front of it. It hadn't been a dream. It was all too real. But that morning, when they got to the tomb, the guards were gone. The stone was rolled away. And when they went to investigate, an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified." The women came to that tomb looking for Jesus, a man who was dead, from the perspective of many, a disappointing failure. But the angel lifted their hearts and he lifted their heads as he spoke seven words to them. Seven words that changed their lives. "He is not here. He has risen." The women came to that tomb with arms loaded with spices, ready to prepare a dead body, and then left with seven words of pardon and peace. Seven words of promise. As they ran to tell the disciples, they actually ran into the words of the angel, Jesus himself, and were told they fell down and worshipped the Savior who was now alive. They came looking for a dead man, and what did they find? Christ is risen. Seven words of pardon and promise that changed lives. It meant that all of Jesus' promises were true. Jesus was risen to free us. He came back from the dead as promised to set you free from your past. That's what he promised, and that's why he died. He died because He died because there is nothing you and I can do to fix that unresolved guilt. So Jesus came as my substitute and your substitute. He came and took to the cross all of our unresolved sin, our unresolved guilt, the guilt that weighed us down. He took it to the cross and died. And then he rose. He rose to show his victory over sin and death. He rose to show us that that guilt that was once part of our life has been dealt with and taken away forever. With his dying cry, "It is finished," he made a promise that came true when he rose from the dead. Christ is risen. Those seven words change everything for us. They free us from our past. Do you want proof? Look at the words Jesus spoke to the women as they were going back to the disciples. He said to the ladies, "Go and tell my brothers." He said, "My brothers." It may not seem all that strange at first until you realize that that is the very first time that Jesus ever calls his disciples my brothers. Do you remember what those disciples had done? They had denied him. They deserted him. They ran away and left him to die. They didn't even deserve to be called Jesus' disciples anymore. And yet Jesus tells the women and sends this message to him, "Go and tell my brothers." He didn't say, "Go and tell my disciples." Nor did he say, "Go and tell my deserters. Go and tell my servants." No, he said, "Go and tell my brothers." Christ, the Son of God, said to sinners like that, "Go and tell my brothers." Something had fundamentally changed, hadn't it? The past had been pardoned because he's risen to free us. Jesus wants you to experience and to live that freedom in the freedom of that forgiveness, the freedom of hearing God's promise, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That is what Jesus is telling you and me as he looks at weak, guilt-laden sinners and calls us his brothers. It means that God has taken all of the sins in our past and washed them away, all the guilt of our failures, and buried them in the depths of the seas of God's mercy. Michael Delaney walked out of his jail cell because he had been pardoned by the president. Can you imagine that sense of gratitude that he must have had for President Lincoln? With those seven short words, President Lincoln had given Michael Delaney a sense of purpose. Michael Delaney now had the purpose. In fact, he even wrote it in his things, "Let him fight instead of being shot." Which is exactly what Michael Delaney did. He fought, and in fact, he even re-enlisted until the war was over, fighting for the man who had freed him. Jesus has risen and freed us for a purpose. He's freed us and given us a new life, a new life to live, a new life to love, a new life to fight for the man who freed us. Jesus has risen to free you from living like this world and this life is all there is. Jesus has risen to free you from living like a rat on a wheel chasing after trinkets that this world thinks and insists you should have. Jesus has freed you from worrying about what your future holds. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Friends, a new era dawned on that Easter morning. A new era where sin no longer convicts us. A new era where Satan no longer has control over us. A new era where death no longer contains us. All because Jesus is alive. It's the heartbeat of our hope. Seven words that change your life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.